We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What you snacking on?
Toast. Dinner.
Leftover toast. All right. Dinner toast.
Toast.
At dinner.
Toast. We have toast at dinner all the time.
You know, I love toast in the morning, but it's bad for you. You know, it's straight carbs. But good toast is good toast. Gotta love that. Okay.
This is great.
All right, so here we go. Stand by, coming down in 3, 2, 1.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, hose head. Here we go.
Look, 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 look.
Look,
look, look, look, look, look,
look. Okay.
All right, Charge. How are you? I ducked that out way too much. What's shaking, my man? God damn it. God damn it. Now you're up.
Didn't go quite the way I wanted, but that's all right.
Hold on a second. I screwed up that segue. Church, how are you doing?
I'm awesome. We've got a Super Bowl. We got one game of football left.
Yeah. Are you excited for the game? Can you stomach either team?
Yeah. That's that part I hate. It's just, here's the thing. The Eagles deserve to be in this. Both teams do. They deserve to be in this position. They draft well. They've got great quarterbacks. They play good defense. You can't use like your traditional metrics for feeling like a team doesn't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. They do. They deserve to be there. But the Eagles fans, not all of them, obviously. But
most of them don't deserve anything good in their life. Did you see the clip of the guy unloading his gun in the air? Like it was an Iraqi wedding in the middle of Broad Street. You fucking lunatic.
What a crazies, right? You would think they'd be working hard to shake this. I think they embraced it. They embraced the stupidity of it.
They do.
Don't you think so?
What's even more shocking, you know the clip I'm talking about, right?
I do. Yep.
Here's the most amazing part of the clip. Aside from the fact this moron thought, hey, this is a good idea, and that nobody has a phone out with a video that's going to instantly post it to make it go viral with my face fully visible, and I'm going to be arrested.
Right.
And face serious gun charges, right? The thing that's crazy is nobody moves. Nobody runs. One of the persons says, hey, I think that was a guy with a gun. In a civilized society, gunshots like that create mass panic. In Philly, it's called Tuesday. They didn't even fucking flinch.
Have you ever been around
gunshots?
Gunfire.
No.
For whatever reason, other than that you're in a spot
other
where
than
there's
that
other, a, you know, not,
yeah, other than that, a gun range. Right, that's it.
Yeah.
I've never been at wild gunfire that could go here, could go there, could kill me. No, never have been. I'm sure I would find it quite uncomfortable.
I think if it were me and I'm out milling around the street and I hear gunfire, first thing I'm going to do is wet them. The second thing I'm going to do is freaking hide, right? Like, I'm run and hide would seem to be the appropriate thing to do, or just run and keep running.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. We're like, whatever.
All right, so let's start with this one. Cut one today, Charge. I'm labeling of chips and dipshits and further awful ideas. In the wake of the blown first down call for Josh Allen, and that's how I'm labeling it. It was a blown call.
Okay.
When you're on the wrong side of both Nance, Romo, and Sterator, you're on the wrong side of it all. There's now still photos that have come out that were shot right down the line of scrimmage that are as clear as day that the ball had to be across the line of scrimmage. Couldn't have been anywhere else. Can you see it? No, of course not. But even the best camera technology to determine where a ball is requires 75% of the ball to be visible. You know what you do with a ball? Where's my football here, Charge? Here, I'll show you this. Ready? Okay. I know this is not on television, but see this football here? Here's what people
do. I see it right there.
Can you see 75% of the ball? No. So there's no way.
I mean, if
so
you're covering
it
up properly, like you're supposed to, so you don't fumble, you got two arms on the ball,
right?
You can't show 75% of the ball.
Right. So for the people that say, well, we should have more technology, the guy that's in charge of Thursday Night Football's, Amazon Prime Vision broadcast.
Yeah, that thing's awesome. Yeah. Oh, God, I watch that and I love it. It's everything I want. Zane.
Right. That guy had a tweet that said, look, here's the deal. And he explained everything. He said, you know what? There already is a chip in the football. Did you know that?
No. What are they chip? They've chipped the football for, like, speed of the ball?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, for the Amazon Prime tracking and for the league to have this data. But the chip is in panel number 4. And that's the panel opposite, as I'm showing you the football, opposite of the inflation
opposite
panel.
The laces?
Well, the inflation panel's
the
here.
Inflation panel.
Yeah, and panel 4 is, I guess it would be over here down there. But here's the thing. As he pointed out, he goes, look, there's problems. One is, unlike tennis, unlike soccer, the ball has a relationship with the runner, whether he's down, forward progress, possession of the football, whether it's coming out or not. So those don't exist in the other sports that use technology. Like the Cyclops in tennis. And then furthermore, this ball, as you can see, is not round.
Yeah.
So the chip could be in the ball, but if the ball's this way or that way, it may not be a first down. And I can assure you that if we were ever to be in a world in which chips and sensors determined first downs, fans would not accept that as being accurate or true. They would say the system malfunctioned. How can you fucking trust that thing? You know they would say that.
I don't agree. I don't agree. Look at tennis, right? So tennis has got the tone, right?
When yeah, but Church, I just explained that. The tennis has far less variables than football.
I understand that. But you could put – here's how you could solve this, I think. You put your chips in both of the ends, the pointy ends of the ball, and all four medians of the ball, right? In the center of the panel.
Tons of chips.
And now I've got –
and they all are going to work, and none of them are going to fail. Chips. And they'll work down to 12 degrees, and they won't get wet, and they won't come loose and rattle around in the football.
The failure rate will be fractionally what it is from two old guys running from different sides of the field to try to figure out which one has got the right placement.
I'm very saddened.
That's a high failure.
I'm very saddened to hear that you are a chip dipshit. Now, I should have figured this because you're such
a
tech guy. You're a chip dipshit is what you are. Here's another bad idea. Full-time referees. You're probably one of these guys, too.
There is a referee, a longtime referee, like 30-year referee from Minnesota. God, his name's escaping me. And I've had him on KFAN several times. One of the things he's talked about is he was there in the part-time days. And man, did he give me when I brought up full time versus part time? Oh, did he give me a lesson? He talked about the things that they had to do as part time referees,
right?
And the league mandated they were doing stuff every day of the week. Every day of the week, they had responsibilities,
including
that they had
the off season
to keep the job. No, not in the off season,
right?
But during the season,
sure.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
which
there was
they
no
should.
Downtime.
Yes. So you're not a believer that we should go to full-time refs, because that's the other further bad idea that I've heard floated. that people want to go to.
I thought they already were full.
No, they're not full time
reps.
No, they're league employees.
What would
employees.
That mean? Like they can't have another job?
Correct.
What does that mean?
Yes, that they would. People say we need full time refs, and I say okay. It is now Tuesday, January 28th. There are no more games left except for the Super Bowl. Today, you've got Carl Cheffers rolling into a parking lot with a cup of Starbucks at 8 a.m. about to clock in for his 8 hours of office refereeing.
What?
And then on
what?
Wednesday,
yeah, what is he gonna
Brad
do?
Rogers will roll into another parking lot somewhere, and he'll report for his 8 hours of office refereeing. And on Thursday, Alan Eck will amble in and say hi to Janice at reception and do his 8 hours. And this will continue for all of February and March and April and May. They're not going to get any better doing this. And if you mandate that they give up their other jobs, then the referees are going to go, well, I'm a lawyer or I'm a home inspector and I make $110,000. Are you ready to give me a raise on that?
Give me that. Right. Now, do you know what they make now?
They make a lot now.
NFL referees.
They make
How
a
much?
Lot. I could look it
I
up right
it
now
you.
Online. But
I can too. I just thought maybe you'd know.
Well, what is a lot? You don't think they make a lot?
Well, I think they get paid pretty well. They make between $205,000 and $250,000 a year.
Which, again,
I think that's pretty good money for half the year, right? So they work roughly half the year.
Not even.
I think that's pretty good money.
No, I know. And believe me, there is an army of referees who are working part-time at the Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, JUCO, high school level. They're all part-time jobs that would love to be an NFL referee. So there's an endless supply of replacements. That's why they can keep the wages artificially low. In a $20 billion league, if paying more for skilled labor like referees resulted in better outcomes, they would certainly pay it. But they know that it won't result in better outcomes. And there's an army of people willing to get paid the $205 for a half year or less of work.
But they have to be reasonably competent. And we saw during the replacement referee debacle of 10 years ago that the replacement refs were not.
No.
They were inadequate. They were terrible.
They were definitely bad. You can't promote all of the guys not in the league to being in the league at once. You have to trickle them in one at a time. Mm. So where do you rank this blown call amongst the worst in NFL history? Because I've got my list. I think it's up there.
Well,
I think it's top three, maybe four at worst.
I don't, but the worst one off the top of my head was that Saints pass
PI.
Interference one.
Yes.
The Saints PI. That's the worst, because that had, was that a championship game? I think
championship
that was an
game
NFC championship
against
game.
The Rams, and the Saints were driving for what would have been the dagger touchdown. They had to settle for a field goal. They ended up getting tied in regulation, then lost in overtime because they were too cautious. The play was a weird bang-bang play that didn't look right, but still had enough of a collision that it should have drawn at least an immediate flag. I understand why the Saints were pissed off, but they also lost the game on their own fucking merits. And then they wouldn't shut up about it. And then Sean Payton harangued the league into the one disastrous year of reviewable PI. You remember how awful that year was.
Yeah, they tried that for you. Yeah, that did not go.
No,
and,
of course.
And you got to love the fact that they reeled it back, which they almost never reel back any of the legislation that they put into the game.
No, it only grows. So that Saints call is number one all time because it happened at such a high leverage point late in the game, NFC title game, and it was at home against the Saints.
Yeah. Well,
and they had been hammered. And they had been hammered, by the way, for Bounty Gate as a franchise member. So they already felt put upon by the league. The Saints, remember?
Oh, well, they earned Bounty Gate. I mean, there's not even any doubt, obviously.
It's not that
they committed Bounty Gate.
I'm not saying they
deserved
were
everything they got and more.
I know. I'm not saying it's that they didn't deserve it. I'm saying you got to understand the raw sensitivities of the Saints at the time because that they felt burned by their treatment by the league. That's all. Just keeping that in mind, all right, Charge? That's number one.
All right, number two.
Number two
I got mine.
Probably
Wait.
What?
Oh, well, okay, go ahead. The Dez Bryant one's totally legit. Go for it. I'll go next after that.
Dez caught it.
Yeah, he did.
Probably number two. Fourth quarter road playoff game against the Packers. Any basic interpretation of the catch was that, yes, he caught it. was stumbling to the ground, but then in one extra move lunged for the end zone and lost control after that. But because they didn't want to accept the fact that he had caught it and made a secondary move to lunge to the end zone, they said, well, he didn't survive contact with the ground, didn't complete the catch. Total bullshit. Dez caught it, and the Packers caught a huge break. Okay?
They did.
Next.
Next, I'll give you mine. 1975, NFC divisional playoff game, Vikings versus Cowboys. Vikings have the lead. Cowboys have the ball. End of the game. They throw a Hail Mary, and with nothing to lose, Drew Pearson pushes down the Vikings cornerback, Nate Wright, and it's not blatantly pushes him away from the ball, catches it, touchdown, knocking the Vikings out of the playoffs. Drew Pearson pushed off. He, for years, said, no, I didn't push off. I used a legal swim move or something else like that, but eventually admitted that he pushed off.
I'm looking at the play right here. Was this the origin of the actual Hail Mary? It was. This is the original Hail Mary. They didn't call these Hail Marys until after this play. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I definitely knocked him down. Okay, that one's fresh in your memory. All right, next up.
It's 1975, fresh in my memory.
Well, yes. I mean, fresh in your psyche as a Viking fan. How about that?
Yes, that's right. The pain never recedes.
Okay, next up, Bert Emanuel against the Rams, 1999 NFC Championship game. Bert Emanuel makes a solid catch, both hands firmly on the ball. He's controlling it without any wiggle whatsoever. But as he's going to the ground, the ball happens to hit the ground while still in his firm control of both hands. They ruled that it was incomplete because the ball touched the ground. They later would amend the rule so that if you did have control, like Emanuel did, and the ball incidentally touched the ground, it did not render the pass incomplete. And I guess they invoked that on the non-incompletion that you said on Twitter looked like either an incomplete or an interception by the Bills.
Yes, I thought that play, the Bills players got two hands on the ball as it's going all the way to the ground. When it hits the ground, he's still got the two hands on the ball. And to me, that looked like Bills ball. And if not Bills ball, I would have said, okay, the ground also jarred the ball and I would have gone incomplete. I think the Bills got jobbed on that one. I think that was as bad of a call as the spot on the Josh Allen run.
Yeah. Then here's one you may not have remembered. Giants Niners 2002 wild card. Last second kick attempt by the Giants to win the game. Snap is botched. Their offensive lineman, Rich Siebert, runs downfield and is thrown the ball, yet he's tackled before the ball gets to him on this scramble play after the botched snap by the Giants on what would have been a game-winning field goal. The referees call pass interference. However, they said he was an ineligible man downfield. And in fact, he had checked into the game and he should not have been ruled. Yes. So they threw ineligible man downfield. And he was actually eligible. So it should have resulted in a second chance at a game-winning kick. They didn't reveal that he reported eligible until the Giants had flown home that night. And I remember saying at the time, well, then if you're the league and you want it to be proper, you get him back on a plane, you send him back to San Francisco, and you re-kick that. Because that's an administrative error that should have never happened. Bad one.
Wouldn't that be awesome
in today's day and age?
It would, oh god, yes. If the NFL actually did that, if they righted a wrong by having the team suit up again and go play, it'd be great.
The NFL doesn't do any of that. The NFL, by the way, quietly, as I predicted, issued a fine for the hit on Jared Goff by the Commanders' Frankie Louvu, $16,000. They also fined him another $16,000 on a what do they call it? A leg tackle?
The drop, the hip tackle.
Hip drop. Also a fine. Yep. You know, neither one of those were flagged in the game itself. Outrageous.
No, and the one that the hip drop was like the definition of it. Oh. It was it met every criteria. It was the most obvious one. You could, yeah. It's like when they're showing young refs on what it looks like, that's the play they're going to go to.
Yeah.
And that's where the ball went. So, you know, there were plenty of eyes on that spot and they still didn't call it.
And then the other two, tuck rule and immaculate reception. Those, of course, will live forever. Al Davis went to his grave saying, The referee said there was a tuck rule. There was never such a rule. I don't know what they're talking about. It's still murky to me about the actual letter and law of the so-called tuck rule, but it didn't feel right as a call at the time nor years later. And so that one lives in infamy. And, of course, the immaculate reception was done in the low-definition days of 480p of analog television, and there was only like three camera angles at best. So it was impossible to tell whether or not Frenchie Fuqua touched the ball, which, of course, only would have mattered because there was a stupid rule in play that says an offensive player, once they touch the ball on a pass, he's the only one that can catch it, that nobody else can catch it. Like, teams are going to be whipping it. Yeah, that was the rule charts that, you know, if another offensive player touched the ball, then he had to catch the ball. Otherwise, it was incomplete or a penalty. I guess they thought in the NFL that teams would whip up these exotic, okay, I'm going to throw it to you, but then you bat it up in the air over to our other receiver, and they won't be able to stop it.
Which never happens.
And then this call fits somewhere in that suite of horrible injustices that befell the Bills, because not only is it pretty clear to anyone with a brain that, of course, he got the first down, but that they abandon all the processes that were required that are usually done of spotting the ball, letting us see where they spotted it, having the camera show it, bringing the chains out to find out just how close or how short it is, and then going to review after making the definitive call on the field. They did none of that, and even worse is that no pool report was filed by the media to ask Cleet Blakeman what happened. Which is an amazing oversight.
Why not?
You have to, the media has to file a pool report request to talk to the refs, okay? And they did, the media did in the Eagles Commanders game, because there was that whole palpably unfair act thing. So Sean Hockley answered the pool reporter's questions. Nobody asked for a pool report.
Weird.
So it's like the Epstein suicide, but for football calls.
I was rooting for the pandemonium that would ensue if they had actually granted the touchdown. To whom is the touchdown credited, right?
What How touchdown? Did
it, like, if the refs had awarded a touchdown.
On a palpably unfair act.
Palpably unfair act, right. Well, had they awarded it. It would have broken like all the stat feeds. It would have been chaos, right? Think about the implications for bettors and fantasy players. I wanted to see the mayhem unfold.
Yeah, and of course it was a Philly game, so they wouldn't have cared. They would have just, I don't know, shot their guns in the air. Yeehaw! Free touchdown! Pop, 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 pop. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics. The world's top athletes get to play in these top-level sporting events thanks to one thing. teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for a customized, affordable life insurance plan. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. All right, what did you think?
Yeah. Now, hang on 1 second before we move on from the conference championship games. Had Dalton Kincaid just caught the freaking ball?
I know.
Right? Which was absolutely catchable.
Whose drop was worse, his or Andrews?
Andrews, because it was
shorter,
4 yards away or whatever. You know,
did you see the all 22 on how wide open Kincaid was on the play? He just overran the route because he thought he didn't know Josh Allen was going to have to stop and throw it so quick. So he just overran it. But you watch the all 22 charge, he breaks wide open into a huge pocket in their zone.
Wow.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts your soul to watch it and go, bro. You're paid to do this. Catch that motherfucker.
Had he caught it, we'd be talking about that Josh Allen play as one of the great plays.
Yes, because they were already in field goal range. That he caught it right at the line of gain.
Right. Yeah. Yep. We'd be talking. That's exactly right. And instead, the narrative is, of course, because we do everything as, you know, all or nothing.
Yeah.
The narrative is that Josh Allen can't win the big game.
Well, I don't say that. I say Josh Allen has not yet won the big game. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But, you know, certain teams run into dead ends, as I call them, in sports. It's like, you know, for a long time, the Bulls or the Pistons were the Bulls' dead end, and then they finally broke through and beat the Pistons in the NBA. You could say that this is similar with the Chiefs and Buffalo on the AFC side. It was the same with the Colts and the Patriots for a long time until the Colts finally punched through. Right?
Yeah, Manning took a long time to get
it
there.
It took a long time to punch through.
Steve Young versus Troy Aikman took a long time. It took several years.
The Packers' dead end was the Cowboys. I think 3 straight years they went to die in Dallas in the postseason. Very painful. So it does happen. All right, so a couple of the plays that are in the mix, and people are going to bring them up to me. I want to let you know that I considered them, but they were not high leverage like playoff games or NFC championship games. Snowplow game in 82 with the Patriots. That was a 3-0 final, and it didn't affect pretty much anything in the league, right?
This is the one where the ex-con had a snowplow,
like a little snow thing, removal thing, and he said YOLO. Literally, the guy was an ex-con. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Okay, hold on. Snowplow guy, ex-con. Yeah, the guy that drove it. Here we go. On this day in NFL history, the Patriots had a convicted felon use a snowplow to clear space on the field for the game-winning field goal.
I guess the fact that he's a convicted felon doesn't really have any bearing on this story.
It kind of does, because
it adds a little nuance to it.
It just shows you how organic the league was back then. That nowadays, if you have a library book that's overdue, the league will know about it and they will not give you a sideline pass, right?
Yeah, that is probably true.
All right, the holy roller between the Raiders and the Chargers was a September game, because remember, that ball was being kicked and batted around on half of an infield at the old Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego, where the Padres also played. So a September game does not count. Phil Luckett's coin flip fuck-up was on Thanksgiving in 98. That's a regular season game. It's high profile. But also, Jerome Bettis kind of botched the call. He said, "Head tails," if you listen to the audio very closely. So poor Phil Luckett didn't really know what he had said. Now they make him call it before they flip it in the air, which is a good thing.
That's probably smart.
Ed Hockley called a pass incomplete in Denver, and it could not be reversed at the time due to the rules, and he got a lot of shit for that. There was a Jerry Rice non-fumble in 1998 against the Packers. I don't consider that a bad call. It was a bang-bang thing. Didn't have replay at the time, so what are you going to do? The Fail Mary in Seattle was spectacular between the Packers and Seahawks with Skeeter McBuzzcut, the replacement referee.
Oh, yeah.
But it was very early in the season, I think week two. And, you know, what do you expect? It's a replacement refs. Shit's
and that was
happen.
It. That was it for the replacement refs, by
that
the way.
It.
That was a Monday night
was
game.
It. Yep.
And that was the last straw. And at that point, the refs had all the leverage. And, you know, okay, they're well paid, as we established earlier. But considering the league makes whatever billions of dollars, you would think
that
the difference between $120,000 yes. and $220,000 would, you know, who the hell cares when your product is getting destroyed on national television?
Right. All right, let's pivot to the coaches being introduced yesterday. What did you make of the four introductory pressers and some of the stuff that shook out, including the comedy from Jerry Jones and company down in Dallas introducing Brian Schottenheimer?
I did not watch that that presser.
Did you see Jerry's clip about it's all smiles and glory holes? It's not all smiles and glory holes.
I thought that was a fake. I assumed that wasn't real. He didn't say that, did
yes!
he?
Yes, that's his term.
No.
It's an oil catter's term. Glory hole refers to oil prospecting.
What?
Oil.
It is?
Yes, glory hole is a well drill for oil that hits a gusher and becomes a glory hole because you make your glory.
Gusher, all right.
Do you know that today? Okay. Do you know that today on my radio show I explained what a glory hole was?
Did you really?
But I had to tip. Oh, I had to tiptoe. Being the FCC, I had to tiptoe up. I go, okay, you're in a public bathroom, a men's room. There are stalls. Let's say there's one man in one stall and another man in a slightly different stance or posture, let's call it, in the other stall. And let's say there's a hole in the stall wall, about the size of a silver dollar. And let's just say that maybe there's goods and or services that get exchanged through the hole. That's how I described it today. And I said, I think I'm FCC legal on this.
Without using the term.
Yeah.
Without using the term. That's now I in the past when I've had to say things that I can't say, I'll do the rhyming. You probably could have
such
done
as,
that, right? What rhymes with glory?
Hoary?
Hoary?
Story?
I don't know. Tory? Yeah, story. Okay. There you go. Yeah, story hole.
It's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, well done. I assumed he didn't actually say
no,
that.
No, that was real. He's actually used that one other time before.
Okay, let me give you this.
Yeah.
My about the Cowboys and this where they've landed with their coaches and what this process has done. One of my friends in the fantasy industry is named Michael Fabiano.
I know him.
He is a lifelong diehard Cowboys fan. And he has rescinded his fandom publicly, repeatedly. He has said, that's it. I'm out. This is the last straw. I'm done with this franchise. I'm done with Jerry Jones. I'm done with crap coaches who are willing to take the job. And he has since decided he's landing on the Lions. Now, other people, I
well,
said,
isn't that convenient? Does he have a connection?
Nice, right?
Is there a connection?
Do you have to? Why should you have to have one, Zay?
Oh, you better fucking have one. I had one. Why with do the I have Packers to have a connection?
Why can't I just be
job?
Like, that's a great run organization?
Because then you're front running. You're front running like a mofo. If I was a Lion fan and this guy, you know, had no connection to the Lions, I'd be like, go somewhere else, buddy.
I feel you and I are going to differ on this. I can tell already.
Oh my God.
Fandom is earned. I have no requirement to be a fan of a team because I happen to live geographically near that team.
Yeah.
I don't have a requirement to continue being a fan of a team if I don't like the decisions they make, the way that they execute their profession, if they lose, if I don't like the people, whatever. I don't have an obligation to be a fan. I don't have to stick through thick and thin if that organization doesn't perform to the standards by which I am allowed to have. I can go become a fan of something else or some other team that better fits me. I don't think there's an obligation to stay with the fan. And furthermore, I will remind people on the other side of this topic, I guess, the owners will leave you if you don't give them what they want. You don't give them a new stadium with luxury boxes and all kinds of revenue streams. They'll leave you. So if the team doesn't give me what I need out of the relationship, I should be allowed to leave them.
Wow. That is the most permissive, the most laissez-faire interpretation of, quote, fandom that I have ever heard in my life. And I cannot support it. I believe you get one fan change in your lifetime, and there better be a good reason for the new team you're going to. Your aunt is from there. You got a job in that city. There's some other connection when you were a boy. You don't just get to pick a team, and you get it once in a lifetime.
Okay, wait. So let's apply this to you. Let's say a top five market comes knocking, right? So now you can go back to Chicago. You can, you're going to be on the score 670.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. ESPN 1000. And you can go to ESPN 1000.
And I've
got
to pretend to be a Bear fan all of a sudden.
Well, what are you going to, you tell me, what are you going to do?
I'm going to cover the team.
What are you going to do?
While saying, you know, I'm really a Packer fan. Uh-huh. But here's the thing. I'm glad you brought this up. Sports radio and sports radio hosts implicitly require a pseudo fanboy ethic to those of us behind the mic in the chattering business. You know that, right?
Mm. Yes.
Yes. And so that's kind of required.
That's what people want.
That's what people want. They don't want you being dispassionate talking about your team every day, such as, I actually like the right side of the line. I wouldn't address that if it were me in the draft. Well, what do you fucking know? You're a Giant fan, asshole. Right? That's what you're going to get.
People throw that at you. Like that matters, but they will throw that at you.
I know, but it's the funniest thing. Did you ever see the great spoof article from The Onion from 2001 that still holds up to this day?
Back when The Onion was relevant? Okay.
Back when it was rolling and relevant. Out of Madison, Wisconsin, The Onion was started.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the headline of the story on the blog, The Onion, America's finest news source. Quote, you will suffer humiliation when the sports team from my area defeats the sports team from your area. It begins as follows. As you can see from the calendar, the game is coming up this weekend. I'm sure you're as excited for it as I am, as our cities are rivals and have been for quite some time. Your confidence in your team is high, but rest assured you will suffer humiliation when the sports team from my area defeats the sports team from your area. It goes on for 9 more paragraphs before concluding with, do you still doubt that the team from your area is inferior to the one from mine? Just look at our team's respective histories. In the past, we have defeated you on any number of occasions. Granted, there were times when you beat my team, but those were lucky flukes. The day of the game will soon be at hand, and no matter how hard you pray to a higher power, or how many foam accoutrements you wear in support of the team from your area, your That's team will be defeated. We will win and you will lose. This is your fate. Prepare for humiliation. It shall be upon you at the designated hour.
That's great.
I mean, that's sport. That's a sports in a nutshell. All right. You were kind enough to give me a half an hour on a busy day. My wife asked, so what's Church doing in the off season? My answer to her should be...
stuff.
Stuff. None of her business, right?
That's right. It is none of her goddamn business what I'm doing.
All right. Well, that was an open-ended
very,
invite.
Very, very important work, okay. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I just wanted to leave it as an open-ended invite to perhaps plug some things for GuillotineLeagues.com. That's all. If there was anything... other ventures of yours?
Oh, well, our time for that. We love Guillotine. Okay. Of course. Right. Our time will come.
Your time will our come. Time. Very good.
You're Thank you, my man.
You are prepping right. for Whiskey Weekend, though, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
When's
Whiskey
that?
Whiskey Weekend's only three and a half weeks away.
Three and a half
and
weeks
I can't
okay.
wait. All right. It's the highlight of my week.
We'll get a full preview of that later on. Thank you, Charge.
Deal.
See you, buddy.
See you later.
All right. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.